my imagination, or Jesus help my mind. My imagination, Jesus help my mind. So we definitely want to continue on in that lesson. Let's go over to our text scripture, 1 Chronicles chapter number 28, and start at verse number 29. It says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all of the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Now, as we were talking about the definition of imagination on last week, you see it there on your papers. It says it's the act or power of forming a mental image of something not present to the senses or never before wholly perceived in reality. It's talking about your creative ability. As we gave you what examples on last week, when you have different professions, an artist, he has an imagination in his mind, but you don't know what that imagination is until he finishes his artwork, whether it be a painting or a sculpture. When you see that painting, when you see that sculpture, you're seeing the imagination that is in that person's mind. Same thing when you look at an architect. An architect is one that designs buildings. So we don't know what the building is supposed to look like until the architect designs it or draws it out, makes a sketch of it. The sketch or the building is in his mind, but until he puts it on paper and until it is built or, you know, it's constructed, we don't know. It's not a reality. It's just a thought. It's just an idea. Well, the same thing is true for anything that we do. You know, how many of you have ever even thought about meals? You had in your mind about a dish that you were going to make, and you may not have never made it before, but you can see it in your mind. Your brain makes you taste what the different ingredients are, but it's not a reality until you make it. It's not a reality until you make it. You can talk about it, but it's not real until you actually make the meal. So these are the things that you have to keep before yourself when you are talking about the imagination. The imagination is only a mental image. It is not reality. In order for something to become real, you have to bring it into existence. And the only one that can help you to do that is the Lord Jesus himself. Now, this is what David was trying to get across to Solomon. Solomon is his son. He was trying to give Solomon some advice concerning dealing with Jesus or dealing with the Creator. If you noticed on last week, we talked about him knowing, first of all, who God is. Solomon had to come to grasp that Jesus is God, or that there is only one God. Even though we are living in a society, and just like all around Israel at the time, you had many different beliefs concerning God. But this God that revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush, is the same God that delivered them from the Egyptian bondage, the same God that protected them from all the many different enemies or their adversaries, that same God that promised that he would redeem mankind from the beginning from sin. He said, "The serpent would bruise my heel, but I'll bruise the serpent's head." That same God came in the flesh, suffered, bled, and died on Calvary's cross to make a way, to make a path for us to be right. Adam messed that up for us when he sinned. When Adam sinned in that garden, he messed creation up. He put man on the path of death. He put man on the path of wickedness. You think about that? We are all of us. We come into this world born in the state of the condition of sin. And as a result of us being born in sin, because we are born in sin, that's what we do. We do sinful things because of the way that we're born. People ask you all the time, well, why do people say those things? Why do people do such things? Why do you feel a certain kind of way? It's because you're born in sin. You can't help it. The scripture says the wicked, they come forth from their mother's womb, speaking lies. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. And all you say, well, where did that tendency come from? That tendency came from Adam. If you say, well, who is the cause of you feeling that way? Adam. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, or death as a result of sin. Therefore, death passed upon all men, for that all have done what? Sin. That's truth. We are in that state, we are in that condition because of Adam's disobedience. That nature, that tendency has been passed on to all of us. And Adam's disobedience, it just doesn't affect our behaviors, but it affects our mind. It affects our mind. It affects the things that we go on in our head, the things that we imagine. This is why you need the Lord to deliver you. Why you people say, well, what do you need? Why do I need Jesus? You need the Jesus to deliver your mind. Deliver your mind from that disease called sin. If you don't let Jesus deliver you from that disease called sin, you'll go down the path of destruction. Now, that's what I want to work on this morning. I want to talk about these two paths, the wrong path and the right path. Now, that first bullet down there talks about the wrong path. Now, you notice what David said to Solomon. He says if you forsake him, talking about Jesus, he will cast thee off forever. Now, if you look at on your papers there, you have Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 21. Romans 1 and 21 in that bold print. He says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were what? Thankful. You see that? But became vain in their imaginations. Now, this is why you need to ask the Lord to help your mind. Because your imaginations, if you're not careful, you'll be creating things in your mind that don't mean anything. You'll be worrying about stuff that don't amount to anything. I always think about that every time we go to a funeral. And I think about a person's life, all of the time that they've been here on the earth and the things that they chose to do while they were on the earth. And you look at that casket, you look at that individual that is in that casket, he takes nothing with him, nothing. He doesn't take the money that's in his pocket. They empty all of that out. His jewelry. People can put the jewelry on if they want to. But who's to stop someone from coming in that casket and taking the things away from them? Nobody. In other words, you don't take anything that you possess with you. The only thing that you carry over into eternity is your soul. And that's all the church is worried about. People think the church is concerned about what's in your pocket. I'm not concerned about what's in your pocket. You know, you all realize I can preach this message whether you give a dime in this church. That's the beautiful thing about my salvation. I did not have to have money in order to be saved. I did not have to have money in order for the Lord to deliver me from my sin. Only thing I had to have is a willing mind. I had to have a willing mind to his plan. When the plan came forth, the plan told me first and foremost to do what? Repent. In other words, to stop sinning. That's what the plan said. The plan said, stop sinning. You think about the logic on all of that? You think about when the scriptures come before you and tell you about yourself and say, you know, you are in this, you are the way that you are because you were born in the state or the condition of sin. And the writer is telling you, well, you don't want to die in your sin, right? Come on, you don't want to die in your sin. One, Ezekiel asked you a question, why will you die? Is asking you a question, in other words, why will you accept the path of death when Jesus have come to offer you what? Life. Say, I'm come that you might have life. So why would you accept the path of death? Well, his plan tells you to do what? Repent. Tells you to stop sin. Stop desiring sin. Stop wanting to be in agreement with sin. Turn sin out of your life. In other words, if you were going down one path and every stop sign you saw was a sign to do something wrong, writer said, get off of that path and get on a different path where you see different signs, different instructions, right? Come on, that's the truth. When you're on that wrong path, you see several signs to tell you to do certain things that are not pleasing to Jesus. And the devil don't care. You know, he can say all day long, keep right on going, keep right on going, because he knows the end of that path. He knows that that path leads to destruction. And that's why the writer told, David told his son Solomon, if you forsake Jesus, he is going to forsake you, right? You have to have that down in your mind. At the end of the day, if I abandon Jesus, he is going to abandon me just when I need him most. Huh? Come on, I'm talking about when you get to the door of eternity. That's when you're going to need Jesus the most. When no one else is there with you, you're going to need Jesus the most. But if you forsake Jesus, promise is he is going to forsake you. That's the truth. That's why you got to be careful. According to Romans chapter number 1 and verse number 21, he says that you need to know who Jesus is. And you need to make sure you treat Jesus like you know he is God. Because the writer is talking about a group of people that knew Jesus is God. But they, according to this scripture, they said they glorified him not as God. You don't want to be on that path. You don't want to be that group of people that know Jesus is God, but then you don't glorify him as God. Come on, what am I glorifying then? You may be glorifying yourself. You may be glorifying your problems. You may be glorifying other flesh, but you need to get that stuff out of the way, because that stuff cannot save you from your sin. The only one that can save you from sin is Jesus. And if you want Jesus to deliver you from sin, you need to glorify him. That word glorify means to exalt him. You need to lift Jesus up above all of your problems, all of your cares, all of your issues. You need to lift up Jesus, right? That's the truth. You say, Elder Scott, this stuff is hard. You need to lift up Jesus above it. No matter how hard it feels, you need to lift up Jesus above it. I can tell you, if you do that, the Lord will bless your soul. One thing I have learned while I was tarrying for the Holy Ghost, the devil does everything he can do to prevent you from being saved. He will put all kind of blockages in your mind. He will make your body feel all kind of things. But until you learn to lift up Jesus above all of this stuff that comes in your way, the Lord can't be glorified. As long as you're lifting up your problems, Jesus can't get no glory out of it. But when the scripture says you glorify him not as God, well, when I don't glorify Jesus as God, what do? I begin to think about vain things, things that don't amount to anything. People want to know, why do people give up while they're tarrying for the Holy Ghost? If you go through and dissect the thoughts, dissect the mind, while that mind is down there calling on Jesus, and you ask and they be down there, Jesus, 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 and then all of a sudden they stop. If you go in their brain and say, why did you stop? Why did you give up calling on Jesus? They say, oh, I was tired. I was worn out. This is going on. I just can't focus. I'm trying to tell you that's vain. That don't amount to anything. That's not going to help your soul. Right? You got to go beyond that stuff. You got to push yourself beyond all of the vain stuff. The vain things are things that have nothing to do with Jesus. What does it have to do with your soul? If it ain't got nothing to do with your soul, it doesn't matter, right? That's the truth. That stuff ain't got nothing to do with your soul. It don't matter. It really don't even matter. Huh? Say, oh, that's because you just don't understand the things that I'm going through. Whether I understand it or not, it has nothing to do with your soul. Why? Because when Jesus calls, you're going to answer. Whether you are ready or not. Huh? I don't care what's going on in your life, what's going on in your body, when the Lord takes the breath out of your body. Huh? Come on, the scripture says that breath is going back to the God that gave it. But then the scripture says the body is going back to the dust. Huh? Very thing that you clothe, perfume, dress up, that's going back to the dirt. But then the question is asked, when man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Where will your soul be when you stop breathing? Huh? That's why I come to church. That's why I serve the Lord. People say, why do you make all of these sacrifices? Why do you run as hard as you run? Why do you sing with everything inside of you? Because I'm focused on my soul. That's it. I'm not focused on anything else. I'm focused on my soul. My wife will tell you this morning, she came in my office. She asked me a question. She said, baby, she said, will you go in there and teach? I said, why? What's wrong? She said, my throat. It's about to seem like it's giving up. I said, it's all right. Go on and keep on going. Well, what was I trying to tell her? It don't matter what's going on in your body. Jesus got to be glorified. Huh? You all have heard me up here preaching when my voice shuts down. I can't stop preaching just because I ain't got a voice. You say, well, Scott, that don't make sense. Yes, it does. You all just have to sit there and listen real hard. Listen to the whispers that come out of my mouth. Why? Because if I'm not going to stop, you can't stop. Well, what lesson am I trying to tell you? Regardless of what you go through, Jesus has got to be glorified. You say, oh, this God, it's hot outside. Whether we had air in this church or not, Jesus still must be glorified. There are no conditions on glorifying Jesus. Just like there's no conditions on praising him, only condition he says, if you're breathing, you ought to praise him. In other words, that's the only prerequisite to praise Jesus. If you are breathing, you owe Jesus to praise. It said, let everything that has breath praise him, right? That's the only prerequisite. Huh? It means I gotta, if I say, well, Elder Scudder, what do I need to do in order to glorify Jesus? You need to step out of yourself. You need to deny yourself. You gotta move self down. Huh? See, Elder Scudder, my head is hurting. You gotta move it down. How am I gonna do that? I can't concentrate on Jesus with my head hurting. I'm telling you, with every thump, with every pain that is in your head, you need to say Jesus with it. Huh? In other words, you need to let the Lord know, I glorify you. I exalt you above all of this stuff. Huh? Say, Lord Jesus, my hands is cramping up. You need to take your other hand and rub that hand. And while you rub it, just say Jesus. While you applying pressure to every hurting joint, you need to say Jesus. Why? Because you're letting the Lord know, I glorify you. I refuse to glorify this pain. I refuse to glorify my issue. I'm determined to give Jesus the glory. I don't want to be vain in my imagination. I don't want to worry about stuff that don't amount to anything, right? Huh? It's the truth. You don't want to worry about stuff that don't amount to anything. Right and untold you, they became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart. That's right. When you become vain in your imagination, something else comes along with it. That light that was once there, it goes out. Huh? Come on, that spark that was once there. In other words, that you had an appetite for Jesus, a desire for Jesus. If you let vanity set in your mind, you're going to let that spark die out. And everything about you is going to be dark. Huh? Every conversation, every idea, every emotion is only going to be dark. And when I'm talking about dark, I'm talking about negative. You don't see nothing positive. Everything is always an issue. Everything is always a problem. And you don't see Jesus is the answer to it all. But when your mind is dark, that means the God of this world has blinded your heart. It has blinded your mind. He doesn't let you see nothing but death and all of the tools that go along with death, right? That's the truth. But he don't want you to see no Jesus. He don't want you to be focused on Jesus. That's why I always look at these young folk all the time. You think about all these tools that the enemy created. He don't want them to pay attention to Jesus. He wants them to pay attention to everything but what's going to help their soul. And when you look at the day, when you look at the clock, and you pay attention to how many times that clock ticks and how much time you waste paying attention to vain things, huh? Things that don't amount to anything. Why do you call it vain? Because it's not going to help you when you stop breathing. Huh? When you stop breathing, is that going to help you? Huh? Come on. I ain't never seen money add 1 second onto nobody's life. Meaning that money is vain. It's not going to help you when Jesus calls you, right? I haven't seen family stand before death and stop death. When death wants you, death is going to get you. Death comes in and creeps in and grabs you when nobody else is paying attention to you. That lets you know your family is vain. In other words, they don't mean anything. They cannot help you at the point of death, right? They can't help you. Cars, homes, none of that stuff is going to be able to help you. So what can help me? Jesus. Only one that can help you is Jesus. That's why we try our best to discipline your mind, to train your mind, to think on nothing but Jesus. You don't understand. Well, I understand. You got a lot of stuff going on in your life, but you need to discipline your mind to think on nothing but Jesus. That's the truth. You need to discipline your mind to think on nothing but Jesus. Come on. All of this stuff is going to come. All of this stuff is going to go. But where will your soul be? Come on. I need Jesus to help my soul. I don't want my soul to be lost. I don't want to go down the wrong path when the only one that can help me said he's going to forsake me. Scripture said if you forsake Jesus, he will cast thee off forever. I don't want the Lord to cast me off forever. That's why sometimes I look at folk that backslide from Jesus as though the Lord, they don't understand what Jesus can do to them. They don't understand who they are backsliding from. When you walk away from Jesus, you're walking away from life. Do y'all believe that? I believe that. When I walk away from Jesus, I'm walking away from life. Nobody but the devil will make you think you can live apart from Jesus. Apart from Jesus, there is no life. Ain't nothing in the world but the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. This is not of Jesus, right? That's true. World is going to pass away. And all of the lust there. That's why I got to discipline my mind to cling to Jesus. Lord Jesus, please put me on the right path. Treat people right. Do right. That's true. Do right. Treat people right. Folks going to come before you with all kind of devilment all the time. But you got to, at the end of the day, I got to treat you the way you're supposed to be treated. Even when you lie, even when you try to cheat, I'm still going to treat you the way you're supposed to be treated. Why? Because at the end of the day, you can take everything out of my pocket. I can lay it all here on the table. None of this stuff means nothing. If my soul is lost, none of this stuff means nothing. Y'all understand that? That's true. None of this stuff don't mean anything. This stuff means nothing to me. Only thing I'm worried about is my soul. Only thing I'm worried about is your soul. See, I just got to, what we're going to be talking about? What we're going to be dealing with? What we're going to be focusing on? We're going to be focusing on Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the only one that can help your soul. That's why we put that sign on the front of the building. On that sign, because I want everybody to understand. As they drive by, you need the Lord to help your mind. Help my mind, Jesus. I don't want to get sidetracked focusing on things that don't mean anything. I don't want to get sidetracked thinking about stuff that's not going to help the real me. I'm more than what you can see. Stephen is more than what you can see. Stephen is more than what you can feel. In me is a soul. And the only one that loves my soul is Jesus. Don't you know that's why he died on that cross? He died on the cross to deliver your soul from sin's habit, guilt, penalty, right? He don't want sin to rule in you. Jesus don't want sin to rule in you. He come to give you another way. Another way another path to go down. Huh? Say, well, the world is doing all of this. Jesus said, but I gave you another path. I've come to give you another path to go down. I'm a Lord, if I don't cheat, if I don't try to do wrong, how am I going to make ends meet? Lord said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. Lord ain't going to let the righteous be forsaken. He's not going to let us be out there begging. Huh? No. Lord is going to provide for his people. Huh? I told y'all all while the pandemic was going on, the Lord just blessed the church. Even when we didn't need food. Huh? In other words, I didn't stop working. My income had not stopped. I wasn't in a place where I was like, oh no, what am I going to do? I still had a job. I still had money coming in. But the Lord was letting me know, even when you got all of that, I'm still going to take care of you. He had family members calling. I told y'all, y'all saw how my cousin called me faithfully. And every time she wanted me to go over there and take bags and bags of food for who? For you. For the saints. Why? Because you're the righteous. Huh? The Lord will take care of us. Here we are turning food away. All right, y'all just got to know we don't want none of this. Y'all remember? We would put the food all on the table. Say, pick what you want. Y'all went down the list. Oh, I can use this. I can use that. Not that you needed it. You didn't need it because your income didn't stop. None of you. None of your income stopped. Kept right on coming in just like it always did. But the world was saying, pandemic, pandemic. But the Lord was telling you, that don't apply to you. That don't apply to you. You are the righteous. I take care of you. Not the government. Jesus, I take care of you, right? Huh?
Yes.
And when the world say, we're going to give you extra money. And well, here we do.
Jesus,
amen. Amen. You got checks all in the mail. Pandemic. Checks for this. Pandemic. And you wasn't hurting. What did you need it for? Last I checked, it was just extra. Huh? But the question is, what did you do with it when it came in? Huh? Did you get vain in your imagination? Huh? Yes, you did. I ain't giving Jesus none of it. You the loser. You ain't got a dime of it left. You ain't got a dime of it left. Why? Because the Lord said, I'll blow on it. Huh? Lord said, I'll blow on it, right? I'll let the birds feed off of it. I'll put holes in your pocket. Huh? Jesus said that. He said, I just got to please pray for me. I can't pray for you. Not on that. I can't reverse what Jesus is doing. Jesus is trying to wake you up out of sleep. Oh, vain man. Lord is trying to wake you up out of sleep. Oh, foolish, dark-hearted person. The Lord is trying to wake you up out of sleep. What is he trying to get me to do? Glorify him. Recognize that Jesus is God, right? And you need to do what? Glorify him. You need to lift the Lord up. Huh? Not lift up what's in your life. Lift up Jesus. Huh? Lift up Jesus above everything else, right? That's that word that means glorify. It means to exalt him. Lift him up higher. Huh? That's the truth. I told you all, even if you got to walk here, you got to do whatever you got to do. Why? Because what is at stake? My soul. Huh? Do y'all believe that? Oh, why are you walking? Just be saying, Jesus. I believe you may come through with the Holy Ghost. If you get that kind of attitude, oh, why you are walking and every step you make, you just start saying, Jesus, you have a tarrying service. All while you on your way to church. So don't you know the Lord can take control of you? Why? Because he sees the sacrifice that you're making. He sees that your soul wants to be saved, right? You got to show the Lord this. You got to show the Lord this. That's why you need to ask the Lord to help you, right? Lord can't save you against your will. Huh? If you want other stuff more than Jesus, the Lord just sits back. He sits back because he realized time keeps on moving. And who's going to be the loser? You are. He doesn't stop time for you. He keeps the clock right on moving. But he lets you know you got an appointed time. You got a time to be born and you got a time to die, right? It's already set. Huh? Just like you got a birthday, you got a death date, right? Huh? Just like you got a birthday, you got a death date. And I'm trying to tell you, you better be ready. Huh?
You better be ready. Huh? Because he's going to bring you into judgment with him, right? He wants to see, what did you do? Huh? What did you do with the blessings that I gave you, right? And I'm not talking about your money. I'm talking about your body. Huh? What did you do with your body to Jesus, right? Did you go out there and have sex? Huh? Did you go out there and shake your hips? Oh, I got to do today. Huh? Did you do that with your hips? Come on, the Lord just sit right back. And he watches you. He sits there and looks at you. Because he realized, he says, you just taking what I gave you. You didn't give yourself a body. He gave it to you. And he said, what are you doing with it? Huh? What are you doing with the body that Jesus gave you? I will present my body. Huh? You got to have that kind of attitude. I will present my body. A living sacrifice, right? Holy. Acceptable unto God, which is my what? Reason. Be not I won't be conformed to this world, Jesus. But I'm going to be renewed. I'm going to be changed. I'm going to be transformed. How about a renewing of my mind, right?
Right.
I'm going to change the way I think. Huh? Yeah, this day going forward, I'm going to change the way I think. I'm going to stop looking at stuff the way the world look at it. And I'm going to look at it through the eyes of Jesus. I'm going to ask the Lord Jesus, anoint my eyes with salve. Huh? In other words, Lord Jesus, you spit on my eyes. Huh? Let the God of all creation spit on your eyes. And let him let you see the things that you need to see, right? Things that are more important in life. Huh? Come on, that's the truth.
Jesus.
See, he tell you, if you want to follow after him,
Jesus.
A man got to be willing to forsake mother,
yes,
father, sisters, brother,
yes.
Houses and land. Yes. And even he got to deny what? His own self. Huh?
Yeah.
You got to learn how to do what? Deny yourself.
Yes.
Huh?
Jesus.
It's not about what you think.
Jesus.
It's about getting your mind disciplined to say, Jesus,
uh-huh.
Put your thoughts in my head.
Right.
Huh? Let me think the way you want me to think.
Yes.
Huh? Let this mind be what? In you. That was also in Christ Jesus. Huh? In other words, get rid of your mind and ask the Lord, put your mind in me, Jesus. So that I can think like you would want me to think, Jesus. That's the truth. I don't want to be vain in my imagination. I don't want my heart to be darkened by the foolish things that are going on. Remember, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. I don't want my heart to be darkened in that foolish stuff that the world is going through. I don't want to get to the point where I struggle to say thank you to Jesus. Y'all understand that? Huh? Sometimes I be looking. Sometimes we have opportunities. We say, come on, young people. Stand up and say something for Jesus. Let the Lord know you thank him. And they just be sitting there. You ain't got nothing to say to the Lord? Huh? You don't got nothing to say thank you to the Lord for waking you up this morning? We're giving you opportunity. We're giving you a chance to let your creator know. Lord, I thank you. Huh? How many of them sit down at the table and eat their food without even saying thank you, Jesus? Huh? Come on. I don't care where you go at. Whether you're going through the drive-thru window, whether you're going into a mall to pick up your food. Huh? I don't want nobody to see me pray, but it's the Lord that gave it to you. Huh? And the last person you want to think that you're not grateful is Jesus. Lord Jesus, I thank you. Huh? In other words, before you put that french fry in your mouth, let the Lord know, Jesus, I thank you. Huh? Come on, when you put your clothes on in the morning. Huh? You shouldn't be there grumbling. I don't feel like doing it. No. See, that lets you know your mind is dark. You need to be, the Lord said you need to be thankful. Huh? That means express gratitude. Huh? And it's so hot outside. Thankful. Huh? You all realize that some people out here can't feel the heat? In other words, they be putting all them clothes on. I was going by somebody the other day. Man had a trench coat on, a wool trench coat. It was 98 degrees outside. Had a wool trench coat on, a skull cap pulled over his hat, had another coat on top of that, had trash bags pulled over top of them. And I kept saying to myself, Jesus, I was hot looking at him. I was hot. I was sweating looking at the fellas. But his mind was so messed up, he didn't realize it was hot outside. That's why you need to thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I can sweat. Huh? Don't you know sweating is a chemical process? It means your body's working right. Why? Because your body's cooling itself down. In other words, your insides are getting to a certain temperature. And your body's going through a process to cool it down. Do you realize if that don't work, your insides could cook? Huh? Nah, Elder Scudder, I'm trying to tell you. That's what will happen to you. Your insides will go in crisis mode. Huh? That's when they got to run you to the hospital. Say, oh, we don't understand. Well, put them on the machine. Why we got to put them on the machine? Because his body's not doing what it's supposed to do. Huh? That's the truth. Huh? But when you able to sweat, you say, thank you, Jesus. Huh? Thank you, Jesus. My insides is working like they supposed to. Huh? You ain't feel the hairs rise up on your head? Somebody come around you. Just look, a little shaky. Your hairs rise up. That's your little spidey sense. Y'all didn't even know that, did you? Your hairs rise up. And your body's trying to say, danger, danger, danger. Come on, it's the truth. Somebody come around you that it shouldn't be. It's like you get a sense in your brain. It says, danger, danger, danger. Something ain't right. Something is off. Something is not right. Your body's trying to protect you, right? Sometimes folk force themselves to go on along with it. But your body's going through a mode. Trying to do what? Protect you, right? And all of this is because Jesus made you that way. Huh? That's why one writer said, I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. Huh? The Lord, nobody but Jesus gave my body the ability to do all of these things, right? Come on, read a little bit more. Yes. Professing themselves. Yes. They became as what? Fools, right? Come on, each one of you go get one of those scriptures. We're not going to be able to read them all, but Joe's going to get some of them. I want you to understand about this wrong path. Proverbs, what does that one say? Yes.
29 and 11
reads,
a fool.
Huh? Isn't that something? Yeah. That's how I know we live around a bunch of fools. Because people don't know how to keep their mouths shut. Huh? Right. Every thought they get, they share it. Huh? Some of that stuff needs to stay up in your head. Yeah. Why? Because it's your imagination. Yeah. And you need to ask the Lord to help your mind. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Come on, but a fool, what does a fool do? Not some. Huh? Huh? One writer said a fool is known by the multitude of speech. Huh? I said I will take heed to my ways. Huh? That I sin not with my tongue. Huh? Don't want to be like the fool. Fool utters every thought. Huh? Some stuff you need to keep to yourself. And ask the Lord Jesus, take that stuff out of me. Huh? Come on, saints, that's the truth. You need to ask the Lord to take it out of you. I tell you, those people that drown in these waters, you don't see them when they talk about they jumped off this bridge and ran into the Schuylkill to go swimming, and then they drowned. I'm trying to tell you that before they got in the water, they had a thought. Huh? They had a thought. And what was the thought? I can swim. I can take it. Huh? Even though the signs say no swimming, I'm different. Huh? I'm a survive. Huh? Come on, the fool. What is the fool known for? He utters all his thoughts, right? But what will the wise person do? What does the wise man do? That's truth.
Until afterwards.
In other words, I think before I speak. Huh? That's why I say you need to ask the Lord to help you, right? Didn't you say you had a situation like that the other day? Where you could have ran off at your mouth, but wisdom kicked in. Wisdom told you to keep your mouth shut. Huh? Keep your mouth shut. Keep it in. Keep it in till what? Till after. Not before, till after, right? Keep it in till after. Read another scripture. Genesis.
Genesis. 6 and 5.
Yes.
And God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth.
Can y'all say that? Yes. I can say that. Yes, when y'all look in the earth, what do y'all see? I see a whole lot of wickedness. And I see is great in way of the earth. Huh? Keep going. Every mental image in their mind is only evil continually. Huh? Isn't that something? That lets you know we're living in the same days that Jesus was talking about right here. Huh? The Lord said, what does the beginning part of that verse say?
That the wickedness of man
was great. It was great in the earth. And every imagination was only what? Evil. Continually, right? That was 6 and 5. What does 8 and 21 say?
And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore.
Now I'm trying to tell you, saints, we are the sweet smell in the Lord's nose. Do y'all believe that? I believe I am that sweet fragrance in the Lord Jesus' nostrils. Why? Because even in the midst of all of this wickedness that's going on, Stephen has a mind to praise Jesus. Stephen has a mind to live right. And Jesus says, I'm happy when I see people go against the grain. Go against the grain of everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is saying it. But Jesus, I see one person in the earth that does not have a mind to do what everybody else is doing, but has a mind to glorify Jesus, right? Lord said that thing came up. Everybody else was doing it, but Noah. Huh? Everybody else was doing it, but Noah. What was Noah doing? Noah was building an ark. Huh? Folks said, Noah, you crazy. You done lost your mind. It ain't never rained. And you sitting up there building this big old boat, and then you putting all these animals in these boats? Something is wrong with your mind. But all of a sudden, the sun stopped shining. Huh? All of a sudden, the door of the ark was shut. Huh? Oh, thank you, Jesus. And who shut it? Not Noah. Jesus shut it. Jesus shut the door of the ark. Jesus changed the environment. Folk looked up and saw something they had never saw before. Dark clouds started rolling in. And then after the dark clouds started rolling in, rain started coming down. And I know they were still in unbelief. Who in their right mind would think it was going to rain so much that the whole earth was going to be a flood, right? But who did it? Jesus. Huh? Jesus did it. Then when they realized that there was no escape, I'm sure they were knocking on the door. Best way they could. Knocking on the door. No. Come on. Let me in, Noah. Please, Noah. Have mercy. But Noah didn't shut the door. So if Noah didn't shut the door, Noah can't open the door. And that would Jesus say, I'll shut the door and no man can open it. I'll open the door and no man can shut it. You need to realize the Lord has opened up the door of salvation to you. Huh? He's opened up a way for you to get your soul right. And if you're not careful, if you don't take advantage of that opportunity, the Lord will shut that very door. And once he's shut it, can't nobody open that door for you, right? Can't nobody open up that door? Why? Because it's the Lord's door. He's the only one that's got the access. But the Lord says that before me, up in my nostrils came a sweet smelling savor. Keep going.
The Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore
for man's sake.
For the imagination of man's heart is evil.
Do y'all understand why the earth is going through the things that it's going through? Do y'all believe that? I believe it. Say, I just got a wise coronavirus going on because I believe the Lord is cursing the earth. I believe the Lord is speaking against this earth. This earth is doing things that are not pleasing to Jesus. Do y'all know that? Lord gets sick of this stuff. He sees it and he gets sick of it.
Hallelujah, Jesus, yes.
He sees that the righteous are trying. The Lord sees that you're trying to live right. He sees you're trying to live right and do right. He sees you living in a neighborhood that hates you. Why? Because you living right.
That's it.
That's the truth. The Lord sees this stuff.
Hallelujah.
And the Lord says, I'm sick of it. Come on. Who said it? Jesus. I'm sick of it. And what did the Lord say? I'm not going to curse the earth because of man's wickedness. Huh?
Evil from his youth.
Where did the evil start from? That's why you got. That's why you got to correct that child. You don't let that children go do what they want to do, huh? Correct them. Why? Because you see the evil brewing up inside of them. And if you don't, if you're not careful, you could be breeding a serial killer, huh? That's the truth. You could be breeding a murderer. And if you need to correct them, huh? Why? Why there's still hope? Oh, while there's still hope, I'm going to put you on the path that you need to go on. Train them up in the way they should go, right? While there's still hope. Huh? That's the truth. Read a little bit. Is that all of it?
Neither will I give anymore. Yes.
Yep.
As I have done.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Keep going. Is that all of it? Go over to Jeremiah scripture.
24.
Yes. See, this is what I don't want you to be. Don't be this kind of a stiff-necked person that don't have a mind to listen to Jesus. Huh? You listen to everything else, listen to Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is going to give you truth. Everybody else is going to lie to you. But Jesus is going to give you truth. Huh? Come on, that's what the scripture says. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Every word he speaks is what? Truth. Keep going.
They hearken not, nor incline their ear.
Uh-huh.
They walk in the counsel and in the imagination of their evil thoughts.
Isn't that sad? Right. Didn't I try to tell you? That's why you need to ask the Lord to help you. Sometimes you are your worst enemy. Sometimes you could talk yourself out of doing what's right. You don't believe that? You know what's right. And you could sit there and have a conversation with yourself. And talk yourself out of what you know is right to do. Huh? It's as though the Lord say, I'm trying to help you. And you sit there and counsel yourself out of what you know to do is right, right? And I'm not telling you something today. It's right there in your book. Huh? You counsel. What is that? What is that right to say again?
And it says verse here, verse 24.
Yeah.
They hearken
not unto
the evil, walk in the counsel and in the imagination of their evil heart.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. Sometimes it's not other people talking to you. It's in your own mind. You are your worst enemy. Lord tell you, get on your knees and pray for a little while. And you will literally talk you'll make excuses as to why you can't get on your knees. Lord is trying to help you. He's telling you, you need to pray. You need to get on your knees and cry out to me just for a little while. And you'll sit there, well, this is going on right now. This is happening. This one is about to call. And instead of you using your power, what do you mean using your power? Cut the phone off. Y'all know that phone, that's how the phone works. Just because it rings don't mean you have to answer. Huh? Now, especially when the Lord is talking to you, right? I can't really bend on my knees. Lay on the floor then. Just get on your floor and lay there. Let the Lord know, Jesus, I'm going to be obedient to what you're saying to me. You're speaking to my heart and my mind, trying to help my soul. Right? Not your body. He's trying to help what? Your soul. Right? But look at what happens. Look at look at what creeps into your brain. It says your own counsel, your own imagination, huh? Of your evil heart. Instead of you moving forward in your spiritual walk, you're going backwards. And if you look at your own proof, look at the proof of your own life, huh? In the proof in the pudding, huh? Look at the proof of your own life, and you can tell. I ain't moving forward. Nope. Well, Lord, if you ain't moving forward, where are you moving? Right. You sure ain't standing still. Huh? This is what backsliding look like, saints. You're going backwards. Huh? That's the truth. Really? Is that all of that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where's another verse? I'm going to let y'all really go. 11 and 8.
Yes.
Verse 11 and 8 reads, but yet they obeyed not, nor inclined their ear, but walked everyone in the imagination of their evil heart.
Isn't that something?
Therefore, I will bring upon them all the words of this covenant.
Jesus.
Which I commanded them to do.
Uh-huh.
They did them not.
Ain't that something? See, what is the Lord looking for me to do with the word? He wants me to do it. Huh? You got to be obedient to what Jesus said. You got to be a doer of the word. Give me another one. I'm going to let y'all go. I'm going to close up my book. Y'all keep me moving. I'm trying to help y'all to understand this wrong path. This is that path you need to stay away from. Y'all, you all see some little highlights on there. You see disobedience. You see that counsel of your old wicked heart. Huh? You see, I'm going backwards and not forward. Huh? That's the truth. Read a little bit more.
13:10, this evil people which refuse to hear my word.
And y'all see similarities, don't you? In other words, the Lord is talking, but what do these people do? They refuse to hear Jesus. You know people like that. Sometimes you got children that's like that. You be talking to them, it seems like you talking to you blue in your face. You say, don't you understand what I'm telling you? But their mind's already made up. You can talk as much as you want. Their mind is already made up. Huh? I'm trying to tell you the power of your imagination. That's why you need to ask the Lord to help your mind. Because the worst thing to be is a disobedient person. Why? Because the Lord can't help you when you disobedient. He will talk to you. But the last thing you want to do when the Lord speaks to you is for you to respond disobediently. Huh? In other words, when he talks, you want to perk your ears up and say, Jesus, what are you saying to me? I hear your word. What are you saying to me? Huh? Come on. Don't be like this. Don't be like this. So you see the similarities. The Lord is speaking, and the scripture says they will not hear him. They refuse to hear him.
Which walk in the imagination of their heart. And walk after other gods.
Uh-huh. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Here it is. I love you. I'm your parent. I love you and I want the best for you. Huh? If anybody in this earth wants the best for you, it's the one that brought you into the world. Now, I know we live in some wicked times and sometimes that ain't the case. But when you got a saved mother and a saved father, somebody that you know got a mind to serve the Lord. Why would you sit there and turn a deaf ear when you know they're telling you something to help you have a good, successful life? Why would you turn a deaf ear to that? What is so valuable and important for you to do to say, I can't listen to my mom and my dad? What they saying ain't right. They don't know what they talking about. I want to do what I want to do. Okay. Huh? Read a little bit more.
And it says to serve them, to worship them, the other God, and shall even be as this girl, which is good.
Huh? What? Hold up. Now, did the other scutter say this about you? Huh? You don't want the Lord to look at you and say, you ain't good for nothing. Huh? Y'all know what a girl is supposed to do, right? A girl is supposed to keep you upright. Keep it tight, right? The Lord said, that girl is good for nothing. Huh? Isn't that saying? You don't want the Lord to look at you like that, do you? Huh? Read me another one. What are these folk doing? Can't you say that about this generation? I can look at these group of people and say they're worse. Huh? Y'all know what it was like. I knew what it was like when I was a child coming up. These folk is worse. I thought it was bad when I was little. These folk are worse. We were coming to church the other week. Girl had her phone on the church's steps.
on the church's steps.
Yes, he was.
Record yourself. Y'all laugh. I'm trying to tell you. You don't think nothing is wrong with that? These folks' minds is messed up. I've seen people go to funerals. Funerals where you are supposed to be, quote unquote, respecting death. And people wanting to get in front of the casket and twerk. Shake their behinds over a dead person. Say, well, what's wrong with that? I guess nothing. But you don't think the times that we're living in are worse? No, we going forward. All right. You don't see all the technology and what we do. We going forward. All right, go right on with it. Go right on with it. Go right on with it. There's going to be a time when enough is going to be enough. And I'm a little nervous because it looks like we almost are there. No respect. No respect at all. No respect for authority. No respect for the sanctity and the sacredness of marriage. Huh? We celebrate it. We celebrate it. We celebrate whoremongering. It is like a trophy to say that somebody's been with all these people. Hundreds of people. I don't know how many people you slept with this week. I don't know. I can't count. That's the life. I want to be just like that. Huh? And somebody say, well, why don't you come serve Jesus? I don't got no time for no Jesus. I ain't got no time for no church. Y'all going to be in there all that time. You say, yeah, all he do is just get up there and just keep talking. I'll be glad when he shut up and we can go home. I'm trying to tell you what's going on in people's minds. I'm trying to tell you people's attitudes. And all I'm doing is giving you a word for life. But the Lord says you reject this word. I don't judge you today. Don't look for the earth to open up and for you to fall in. Don't look for lightning to come and strike you. I know that's what we used to think when we were children. We used to say, oh, Lord. Lord going to shoot me with a bolt of lightning tonight. Nah, that's not going to happen. The Lord says, I'm not going to judge you. Right? But the word that I speak, it is going to judge you when? In the end. Huh? Remember, because you already got a date with your name on it. Huh? Y'all realize today is what? July the what? Y'all realize today is somebody's day? Somebody's date of death is today. Y'all ain't even thinking about it. But right now, somewhere in the earth, y'all look at the clock. Everybody turn around and look at the clock. Somewhere in the earth, somebody stop breathing right now. And we go around living and thinking, no, not me. Your day is coming. Your day, you have a day already set on the calendar. And no matter what anybody does, you're getting out of here. So it's best if the Lord gave you a mind to listen to his word, pay attention to what he's saying. Don't turn a deaf ear to it. Don't be disobedient. When you find disobedience rising up in you, as we said, what the sign says on the outside, ask the Lord Jesus to do what? Help my mind, Jesus. Because at the end of the day, the only reason he's giving you the word is to help your what? Your soul. Right? You talking about somebody loving your soul. Jesus loves your soul that much. Out of all the people in your life, think about everybody that you know. Everybody that knows you, all the people in your life, think about how the Lord has blessed you today. What is he? How did he bless me? Because he let you hear this. Huh? He let you hear this message this morning. Now the question is, what you going to do with it? Are you going to turn a deaf ear to it? Or are you going to let it change you for the better? Right? And I'm not talking about change you while you're in these four walls. I need you to change when you're outside the wall. I need you to think about what you do when nobody else is around. Huh? I think I need you to think about what you say. What emotions you entertain. Right? That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the only way you're going to help yourself. Oh, that's the only way you're going to help yourself.